it's Roberta.
And this is Ryan, and this is the Midweek News.
On Art Blog Radio.
There was a giant puddle that I didn't realize was a giant puddle at the time. And then when I got into it, it was a giant puddle.
Car stalled?
No, it kept going. I'm like, wow, that was way deeper. So I'm like, so Jack was with me. So Jack drives. I'm like, so that puddle I just went through was not a puddle. That was a lake. And you would want to avoid lakes.
Yeah.
Don't do what I just did. Because that was not intentional. And water was so deep that it came over the top of the car. Like, it was that level of deep.
The splash up.
The splash up came all the way up and over, was definitely halfway up the wheels, maybe, you know, further up.
Oh, you were lucky.
And then the next day, the power steering failed. So then I was like looking around for the power steering fluid to see if it had drained or water had gotten in, or need to, you know, just to drain it and refill it, or if it's the pump, or check on the belt wasn't squeaking. So I checked all that, and then it doesn't have a reservoir. I'm like, oh, that's strange. Why would it not have a reservoir? And then it turns out it's an electric motor, not off of the you know, the serpentine accessory belt. So so then I started looking for the part, and then the part was just like, it's non-serviceable. So basically, it's a car that you buy and you throw away all the pieces. You can't rebuild or reuse them.
So this is a Subaru?
This is a Subaru. What do we keep building? These throwaway pieces, the throwaway life. Anyway, so this is a 2017. Like, it's not an ancient car. And so then I called the dealer, and they're like, oh, we can get you a part in a week. I'm like, oh, that's a long time. So then I called another dealer. Oh, because I brought it to my mechanic. He's like, we can't get you a part. So then the dealer was saying, well, it'll be a week to get you a part. So then I called the one in Delaware, so like no sales tax even. And he's like, oh yeah, we get you one tomorrow. I said, great, how much is it? $1,700. And that's just for the part. That's not them installing it. That was the parts department, not the like service department.
So you have to replace the whole mechanism.
The whole mechanism has to go because the one little piece on it broke or failed. It's just an electric motor. So it's like, it should be able to bolt it on, bolt it off, swap a new one. So, anyway, I found one on eBay from this junkyard in California. And I called my mechanic and I said, what do you think of it? He's like, well, how much did the dealer want? I said, $1,700. He goes, holy moly, that's a lot of money. And I said, yeah, that's a lot of money. He says, well, how much is the one on eBay? I said, $170. He's like, it's 90% off. He's like, you could buy five of those with my install price and still be fine. It's like, it's worth the risk. So I did it. And it worked.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, so $165 plus whatever. Yeah, so $170 with free shipping. 4 days later, installed.
Oh my gosh, so it's installed.
It's done.
So is a car drivable without the power steering?
Yeah, remember the good old days when there was no hydraulic support and you're just like pulling as hard as you can?
Yeah,
it goes. It just takes all your effort. Parallel parking is the hardest. But obviously I only drive to pick up my kids. Right, so that's the only time I'm thinking about driving.
I can't imagine parallel parking.
It was tough. I definitely looked for spots that were big enough for me to just like lean into.
Slide in, yes. That's my favorite anyway.
Yeah, those are the easiest. Once you got going, it was fine. Like, it's not really a safety issue necessarily. Mm.
Do you think it was caused by going through the puddle or what?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, so he pulled the part out. He's like, do you want the part or whatever? I'm like, yeah, I'll take it back. Because on some parts, they charge you a core price. So it's like, if you don't return it, they charge you an additional, like batteries or alternators or something like that. Because they remanufacture those. So they can rebuild those. But this one's non-serviceable. So there's no core charge. But yeah, it looked like it had a lot more miles on it than the car did. And I think it may have just gotten pretty beat in the last little while. So anyway, the car's handling better than it, or steering better than it
ever
did
has.
When I first bought it. Yeah. It's just nice. Maybe I can't remember that far back.
Oh my gosh, what a story.
Yeah. It's been
so
a while.
Sorry.
Yeah. And the rain, and just like, so I have rain pants, rain jacket. You know, what's the Scandinavian saying? There's no bad weather, there's just bad clothing. But bad, you know, if you don't have a good wardrobe for dealing with The climate.
Yeah, they are right.
And I feel like I'm wet on the outside. I'm wet on the inside. It's like I can't catch a dry break. I'm going to wear a dry suit, like scuba suit.
Well, and plus it captures all the moisture. Anything that is like water resistant, just doesn't let you breathe. And right. So you are sweating.
Yeah.
So there's that water.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So mine has zippers like along the side and to like let it breathe, but it's the humidity is already 110% outside. It's 150% in my jacket. It's just, it's raining outside. It's raining inside. It's just wet all over.
Oh my gosh.
So it's been a challenge. And when you get that wet, you kind of get a bit demoralized. Like,
you just want to go home and have a shower.
Or just a nice towel time.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
But.
Wow.
Maybe next week will be warmer. You know, then we're going to get to summer and it's just going to be hot. And then you're going to be complaining about, oh, I'm just constantly hot.
Ryan, you're going down a rabbit hole
here. I'm just saying. Maybe I got to look at a different perspective on that.
Rain is good for the flowers. You know, rain washes away the crud that's on the sidewalks.
But other than that, I'm fine. So we're coming up to the end of the year, so there's all the scholastic things that are wrapping up.
Yes. How's it going with your kids?
Good. Fine. Also with cycling, all that's high school related too, so that's all wrapping up fairly soon. We had one big event where Bicycle Coalition works with some other, like the Mayor's 5K run in Hunting Park was last Saturday, and so that was a lot of fun with the Bicycle Coalition and the U-Cycling.
I have not heard of the Mayor's 5K run.
Yeah, I had not either. Hmm. It was a fairly small group. The mayor wasn't there. I wonder if they put the name, the mayor's title in there just to see if they could invite whoever's sitting mayor to participate or throw some money their way.
Yeah, that sounds like a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't show up. That's a shame.
No, that's not. I don't know if they do that, but how was your weekend? I guess it's late in the week. We don't usually do it this
no.
podcast.
No, who can remember back? it was Mother's Day, which I don't know about your household, but it's a nothing day in my household. We don't really celebrate Mother's Day except to send texts to our two daughters who are mothers. And then they send me a text. So happy Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. And that was it. That was Mother's Day.
Yeah, my mother's far away. She had things with her stepdaughters. So we chatted the Friday before. It was good. But I also did text too.
Thank God for texts. I don't know what we would do. There have been three articles that have been about Art Blog's closing. One was a very nice video interview on Instagram that Conrad Benner did. Mm-hmm. I sort of girded my loins for that one because it's video, you know. Right. I'm beyond my expiration date for video.
And he had the stick out and was doing the thing with you. Yeah, that's always funny.
But he edited very nicely, so I didn't look terrible anyway, or sound terrible. And then Peter Crimmins wrote a very nice story on WHYY, and then the Inquirer covered it. And breaking news, Hyperallergic is going to cover Art Blog's closing. We just got a notice from, or an inquiry from one of their writers, Maya Pontone, and she's going to interview Libby and me tomorrow on Zoom. So that'll be coming out.
Good.
So it is a big thing, you know? I want to thank everybody that's been writing in such sweet, generous, loving notes about how Art Blog has meant so much to them. They got their first review on Art Blog. They appreciated the editing if they had been writing for us, and it was part of their lives somehow for the last 21 years. That is something I really take to heart and thank everybody for. So we love you back is all I can say. And we're closing. Come to our celebration on October 23rd. Don't be sad. Okay, don't be sad, please. Be happy and think about the archive. We're now getting all kinds of community support and ideas on how to keep the archive intact and supported through the years. And so we'll be following up on that. Yeah, we've had some wonderful pieces come in content-wise. I hope you've been enjoying them. They'll go out in the newsletter. Tomorrow, we'll send the newsletter out. Janice Glasper wrote a very sweet thing that was a goodbye and her story of how she has been writing for Art Blog for 8 years. And it was a lovely thing. And we posted Clayton Campbell's historical fiction, which is a first. We haven't published fiction before that I recall. And it's a rip snorter of a story. Yeah. It's a good
it's definitely
one.
Definitely worth a read.
Worth a read, and especially if you download it and can print it out, because it's 21 pages long, single-spaced. So it's like a little novelette. Matthew Rose wrote about the end of the art world, his deconstruction of art history through time, which I thought was a nice read. Beth Hindley wrote the Cecily Brown review, which was lovely, great pictures, which she took herself.
Yeah, the Barnes thanked us for that as well.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure. It was a good show.
It was a
good
show.
It deserved to be written about.
A good review.
Yes. And Sharon Garby wrote about Thomas Price at Hauser & Wirth. And that was, Thomas Price is a British, black British sculptor, and he makes monumental statues of everyday black people. There was one that was a gold-plated bronze. He works in bronze. That was in the Time Is Always Now, or Now Is Always the Time, I forget.
Yeah.
I'm dyslexic when it comes to things like that. So it was a show recently, the Afrofuturist show at the PMA. Mm-hmm. And coincidentally, and then I'll stop talking, Ryan.
You're doing great.
Coincidentally, once that post went up, we got an email from a former writer of art blogs called Stefan Zabrowski Rubin. Stefan wrote for us back in like 2011, 29, 10, 11, 12, you know, sporadically, off and on, a young writer, Canadian born, who went off and I believe studied at the Courtauld Institute in London and is still in London, and facilitated the work of Thomas Price at Hauser and Wirth that Sharon had written about.
Interesting.
So that's
Full circle.
The circle of art blog coming back around, which I thought was lovely. He was thankful to see Sharon's wonderful piece, and there he was, still working in London. And you know, he said, art blog, love all the way.
So yeah, wow, that's great.
It was, so that's, I'll stop now. Should we start with the news?
Sure.
Barrel on through the news. Okay. So I have one, two, three. Yes, that's all I have today. Three. So, but I'll make them longer. You know it. You know it. First, and I'm excited for this, Michelleen Thomas is the commencement speaker at Rutgers University Camden. Yeah, May 20th, she'll give her speech and she will receive an honorary doctorate of fine arts.
Wow.
From Rutgers. So that's awesome.
That is.
Yes. So congratulations to Michelleen and to all those graduates who are going to be in the audience to hear her speak. I'm not sure it's open to the public. I'm guessing not. You probably need a ticket to get into the graduation. I hope they tape it and put it up on their website. Michelleen, for those who don't remember, is a Camden native. And she was recently named one of Time's 100 most influential people. Hmm. She also recently had a show, a solo show, at the Barnes Foundation that was a blockbuster, wonderful show, which we covered and is on Art Blog. Number two, there's a musician, guitarist and conductor named Michael Paul, Mike P-O-L-L. He had written for Art Blog as a student when he was at Penn, and we did several lessons at Penn for a critical writing class that he was in, and we agreed to put the students' writing, if it came up to our standards, on our blog. So Michael Paul had his writing selected by us and appeared on Art Blog. So he was writing to say he was terribly sorry to hear that Art Blog was closing, but did we know that he had written for us way back when, and he was always appreciative of that. He now is a conductor and has a new album, his first album coming out on Orchid Classics, and it's with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, which I think is in Britain, perhaps. Doesn't it sound like if it says Royal? I don't know. There's nothing in America that says royal yet that we know of.
Trump's in a plane.
Yes, I know. So he's a conductor of that, and we'll put in a link. It's out already, and you can listen to some of it. And it's really lovely classical music. Samuel Barber, who also has a Philadelphia connection, was at the Curtis Institute. It's got a piece of his, very sad music. And he also has other pieces out on iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon. So congratulations to Michael Paul, a former art blog writer when he was a student. My final story is about Thomas Jefferson University. They have a project. Thomas Jefferson University merged with or bought, I can't remember the exact terminology they used, bought Philadelphia University, which was a design architecture school. And they now have a design architecture program. And they got a commission for a piece of public sculpture in Huntington, Long Island. And it honors the deep yet often, and I'm quoting here, overlooked history of African-American communities in the area of Huntington, Long Island. And it was created with a unique collaboration, again, I'm quoting, between the African-American Historic Designation Council, the town of Huntington, and designated by Collective, a group of artists, historians, and educators from Thomas Jefferson University. It was designed by a collective, it's called Collective, a group of artists, historians, and educators from Thomas Jefferson University. So it's a place marker. I've seen just a schematic of what it looks like, which is on the Thomas Jefferson website. We'll put a link to that so you can see it. Very nice that they have this, that they've done. It's honoring the community in this little town on Long Island. So congratulations to Grace Ong Yan, sorry if I'm mispronouncing the name, who is the Associate Professor of Interior Design, Interior Architecture in the College of Architecture and the Built Environment at Thomas Jefferson University. She was the leader on the project, or co-leader on the project. Congratulations to them, and go for your public art project. Mm-hmm. And that's it for me. So over to you, Brian.
Thank you so much. Good list. So we are into the middle of May, and so there already are on the calendar Juneteenth events. So take a look at those that are becoming available, and you want to start RSVPing for anything that has ticket-related events. Couple that I wanted to point out this week, there is a Philadelphia Death and the Arts, or Death and Arts, event happening at the end of May into June 1st, that weekend. And there are several performances that are happening at Laurel Hill Cemetery, both east and west. And so the east is in Philadelphia off of Ridge, and the west is in Bala Cynwyd off of Belmont. And so they have performances and there's talks. One I wanted to specifically point out was Aiko Otake's A Body in Laurel Hill. That's in Laurel Hill East. There's performances May 30th and into June. I'm not quite sure the total number, but there are several different performances. So take a look at that. We'll have links for that. Aiko's first solo project was called A Body in the Station, and it was a 12-hour performance at 30th Street Station in 2014. Since there's been several different performances throughout the country. It looks really interesting. I think we have a very interesting relationship with death and cemeteries in particular, and it's interesting to incorporate that, and I think it's worth doing. So there are five performers. All of these events are on Connect, so you can see all the calendars. Then there's links to anything you need to get all the ticketed items for those as well.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is this organized by Laurel Hill?
I'm not sure if it's organized by Laurel Hill, but it's in conjunction with. I think the artists are putting it together. It's artist-led and directed, but I think it's in concert with Laurel Hill. Like they're
the site.
They're the site, so they need to allow access. So they're fully participant in that.
Sounds interesting.
As far as if they picked the work or whatever, I'm not sure what kind of say or oversight they wanted or whatever. But yeah, so that's happening. And those are the evening performances or towards sunset, which will be really interesting. A really beautiful time to be there.
Yeah. I have not been to the East Laurel Hill, but I have been to the West Laurel Hill. Mm-hmm. It's quite amazing to just walk through it to see all the historic markers and monuments.
Yeah. It's one of the largest cemeteries, and it's interesting. It sprawls both sides of the river with great views. And so it's going to be really interesting to see that performance, especially in the east as the sun is setting on that side. I think it'll be I think it'll be really interesting.
Little known fact is that the train that now is used to be the R6, the Kenwood line on SEPTA, mm-hmm. regional rail, mm-hmm. which used to go across to Manayunk mm-hmm. and vice versa, was the way people from the city would get there for the funerals mm. to Laurel Hill West Cemetery.
Mm. That path. Huh?
The train.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
would take the train and then...
Oh, okay.
I guess there was a stop at the cemetery.
Sure.
And I mean, there was a stop at the Kenwood station, which still exists, but I think there was another stop along the way before you got to Manayunk, and that would be where people went to get into Laurel Hill.
Interesting.
And that's now a bike trail, the Kenwood Trail.
It is, the heritage trail there. Mm-hmm. Another outdoor performance is being put on in combination between Black Star and Bartram's Garden. This is performances, again, that same sort of time. It's unrelated to the Philadelphia Death and Arts series, but this one is going to be performed by Jory Manaya. It is several different pieces over those 3 days, and each one is supposed to be a unique experience, not just because of the time of day or the weather, but because the impetus is different each and every day. And so the series is stated to have, is supposed to reflect on intertwined legacies of freedom, extraction, and ecology in North America's oldest surviving botanical gardens. It's entitled Venus Flytrap, and you can find that information on Connect, and we'll have links to Black Star's site as well. And those events are coming up May 29th, and those will happen at 7 p.m. This is going to be a really interesting performance weekend, the end of May, going into the 1st of June. A lot of interesting things happening. And then my third pick, and I'll keep it to three. Last week, I went a little crazy. This week, my theater pick is Franklin's Key. Pig Iron is performing at Plays and Players. They are doing kind of a rethink of what if Benjamin Franklin's Key actually controlled the weather. The British wondered if that was actually a thing, that there was some sort of scientific method that Ben Franklin had figured out some way to control the weather and defeat them.
Oh, wow. Early science.
Right?
What they didn't know.
Well, science and magic, the difference between the two, right? They said, how do you tell the difference between the two? They are going to play the game of what if it were true? The show combines object transformation, stage illusions, and larger-than-life characters in what they call a pulse-pounding, brainy adventure. Sounds hilarious. Pig Iron, obviously, is a Philadelphia staple. It's a classic group. Plays and Players is obviously on Delancey, 1714. Shows are running from June 3rd through the end of the month, June 29th. So we'll have a link to that as well as tickets to that show. And that's my theater pick of the week.
Reminder to everyone that Pig Iron was part of University of the Arts. And when the University of the Arts closed, they lost all kinds of stuff. They lost, I think they were owed back money. And I'm not sure that they've received it back. So if you feel like you want to support Pig Iron as they're struggling, this would be definitely the play to go see.
Absolutely. So think of it as a fundraiser as well, I guess. But yeah, I think the show by itself should be a lot of fun. They do put on excellent shows.
Can I slip in another one? Sorry, everybody. I just am remembering that on Instagram, Teleporter, the new zine from David Dempy Wolf and Yuka Yokoyama and Marginal Utility, has an open call. They're looking for poetry, flash fiction, any genre. And you can email submissions to teleporterzine@gmail.com by May 24th. They have a poster on their Instagram, so we can put that in post to remind you of this. Anyone, poetry and flash fiction. What is flash fiction?
Short.
Short. Is that what it means? Like one page, like not what we just published.
Right.
That is a long, long flash, not a hot flash or flash fiction.
I think it's generally like, so there's short story, which are 20 page, and this is just like an article, like 800 to 1200 words, is like flash fiction, something like that. I don't think it's genre specific. I think it's open. I think it's just very short.
Okay. Yes. And they're asking for any genre. So it could be horror. It could be, I don't know, ballet. It could.
I think the fun thing about a flash fiction is just like when you write a review or a critique of art, the worst thing you could be is boring. So you have to draw someone in. You're like, why am I even reading this? So if you can do that in flash fiction,
Like you're creating a story in 1,000 words. You've spoken to something that's really a great skill.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that, it's a great practice for anybody interested in writing.
Okay, let's all practice, people. Yeah. Let's do some flash fiction. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Come up with some ideas, brainstorm some things, write a draft, fix it, come back to it, cut it in half, and then that's probably 100 words.
That's the recipe.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, there you go.
Done.
Okay, you heard it here. All right, well, if there's nothing else, then I guess we'll say signing off. It's Roberta. Thank you for listening. Come back next week. Bye.
And this is Ryan, and this has been Art Blog's Midweek News. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.